This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the DJV program. That's an assumption on my part. I shouldn't assume that you were here already, but you're here now, and that's a good thing. Thursday, the 13th of August, is upon us. Time to reflect and to learn and to hope and all that good stuff as we explore what's going on today. I'm Doug Steffen. Jennifer Horn is here. Victoria Keelan is here, and you are here. What more could we ask for? Jennifer has been tracking. I don't know, you're tracking the tracking, right? Of the footballers, what are we tracking?
Well, it's been kind of an interesting element of the COVID-19 story, and that is how professional sports are trying to manage a comeback. We've seen baseball have some success. That's a less contact sport, obviously. Hockey and basketball, which are, you come into contact with people, you know, you're right next to people in that sport. They're doing their best by creating these bubbles that only allow certain people in that have been tested so that everybody's kind of quarantining together. A lot of people are wondering what the NFL is going to do. And the answer is that they're doing daily testing, which is pretty basic these days. They're also trying to do virus-proofing around team facilities. They've done so far 109,075 coronavirus tests on players, coaches, and team employees through this past Tuesday. The rate of positive tests have been very consistent with what we've seen in sports. They're at 0.46% overall, 0.81% for players. And they're doing something else that's kind of interesting and I thought worth talking about. They're actually giving the players it almost looks like an Apple Watch. It's a smartwatch-like device that produces an audible and visual warning to help maximize social distancing. They also keep employees not required to interact with players apart from those who must interact with players. The tracker provides instant reports for contact tracing in case of a positive test, and they're worn during practice, but they can be turned in. They're supposed to be turned in at the end of the day. It was kind of interesting to see Patrick Mahomes, who is the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, probably one of the best players in the league right now, arguably. He said, it's weird when someone tells you you've been too close for too long, but apparently that's the NFL now. They're zapping their players, letting people know if they've been staying too close or having too close a contact with someone else. Makes you wonder if this is going to be a new feature on maybe the Apple Watch or on some of these other trackers that people use.
That tech definitely exists already. Yeah, they're doing beta testing with that.
So where are they using this? Where is
the NFL? Because everybody's starting to work out. Every team, every player is wearing this smartwatch that notifies you visually and audibly if you've been too close. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a little buzz to tell you to move away from somebody. So,
but how does that work when you're running a play?
I don't know. Will it work when you're on the field? I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Right
now, it will work
because
they're just doing workouts. Yeah, they're not. They're not even in training camp quite yet. I mean, it's just starting up.
There's a lot of video around. I don't usually pay attention to this stuff, but I see video highlights of the various practices a lot more this year than I have seen. Maybe I'm paying attention because it's something that's on a lot of people's minds, and I want to be up at least on top of it to the extent that I can without, you know, really getting too caught up or involved in it. But there seems to be more. Is it because of this? Because it's unusual?
It caught my attention. We could have a whole long conversation. The Dolphins have installed like air purification devices. They're putting 4 feet dividers between lockers and stuff. A whole lot of stuff with sports in mind. But what I think is even more interesting is this next for us? Because Victoria's right. That technology already exists. There's already the trackers in people's smartwatches, their Apple watches that notify you when you've been sitting too long. My mom will have like a vibration go off. If I'm spending, you know, long amounts of time with her, I'll hear a zzz. And she's like, oh, got to stand up, because it reminds you to stand up and walk around every hour. And so if that's already existing, how soon is this going to be for us where we just are going to be told, nope, you better. It's just another part of our life getting controlled by technology, I guess.
But the interesting thing, though, is as we've, you know, we have very limited contact with anybody. Our, you know, my brother and his wife and our other two friends who are a couple. And, you know, you do, when you're around other people, even if you're outside and you intend on socially distancing, you know, you have a cocktail and then all of a sudden you forget to be 6 feet apart. You know, it's not a bad thing to have a reminder. And also that works if you're out in public, you know, if you're walking anywhere out in public where other people are around, it's not a bad thing to have a reminder of like, uh-oh, there's someone who's too close to you and, you know, you may not even realize it.
Well, there's a lot of this sort of thing, the thinking, it's just the it's so amazing how much of our time and effort and attention is being given to this. It's our lives. It runs our lives and every aspect of our lives. So that brings me around to asking Jennifer, because you're, and I would ask this of Victoria, too, in your area, how much remote learning, and if it is remote learning, I see the structuring. We've talked about this three or four times in the last couple of weeks. School board saying, we're going to do this, we're going to open, we're not going to open, you're going to wear a mask, you don't have to wear a mask. What really concerns me is what I've learned from people who are teachers that I know. My sister is a former teacher. She's been talking to some of her friends who are still there. A lot of her friends are frustrated because they don't think the kids are getting anything out of this. And so how do you restore structure when everything has been so weakened? The foundation of everything has been so weakened by the coverage and by the thought process and people's fears. And good Lord, I don't want my kid to get sick. I'm not sending him to school. Well, how do you know your kid's going to get sick? And do you really know how sick your child might be? You know, under the circumstances, it's not anywhere near as bad as it was. It just is restructuring. Here's where I'm going with this. I want to know what leadership, whatever leadership it is, whether it's local leadership, whether it's state leadership, whether it's the federal government, what leadership do we have, leaders who are going to bring us into and say or rebuff people who would get in the way for whatever their own political ideas or shortcomings are, and really focus on the problem or the issue, and that is, what is going on in the minds of our youngsters? What's influencing them during this period? And how do you make sure that it's balanced? I don't see much balance anywhere as an adult, and I wonder if that is what we are bequeathing to our children. No balance. No structure. And it's very frustrating. You see all these people running around, I'm not going to school because I don't think it's safe. Well, what do you base that on? Well, because nobody's wearing a mask. Well, what happens if you don't? I mean, there's so much not known here, yet people are getting into groupthink. And anyway, I find it very frustrating. I look at my own situation in my own town. I look at places that where my children are, and they, you know, they've basically taken the bull by the horns because they're both educators. They're my daughter and her husband. So they're really onto how Miles continues to learn.
Yeah, but they're the lucky ones, and they have the time and they're smart enough to do that. I just worry
about... Well, that's my point, Jennifer.
Yeah, who
don't. That's the point.
I mean, you want to talk about something that's going to screw up with the socioeconomic class system right now is the people who have parents that have to work, and they don't have the time to sit around and babysit, and they don't have time to make sure that their kids are tuning
in.
They're
going to make choices, and they aren't good choices.
I have a friend who, because in California right now, it's I'm sure there are a few exceptions in the state, but for all intents and purposes, broadly, the whole state is shut down as far as the schools go. And I think it is so irresponsible, so stupid, and it is based in fear because people are, you know, just, they're hiding. They're hiding under their kitchen sink because no one's actually talking about people recovering. No one's talking about some of the therapeutics that are really working. No one's talking about the transmission rate being a lot lower for kids. It's really silly because you've got a lot of children who are now in bad situations at home. They have no escape. Some families rely on schools for pretty much everything, including meals. And
three meals a day.
All of that.
Yep.
And some school districts are trying to keep up, but others are not. And things are are different. And so I have a friend who is like your parents, or like your daughter and son-in-law, not your parents, who's very smart and educated. She's a lawyer. Her husband's a lawyer. And she was literally on Facebook saying, I cried today watching my kids go back to school. They started back this week. She said it's not the teacher's fault. They have no resources to operate this well. She's like, I don't know what I'm going to do to keep my kids educated. And she is someone who can actually maybe afford to bring someone in, and yet it's still touching her in that way because, you know, what are you going to do? The learning is not there. And as much as they try to tell you that nothing's going to be lacking and it's the same education,
bad enough
they are
if
lying.
You're in class or classes 6-7 hours a day with all the damn devices that you can't take away from the kids, that's distracting enough. But when there's nobody there, nobody home, nobody to do anything. And I'm thinking my conspiratorial hat is on now. I think that the Chinese Communist Party, the leadership in China, has thought all of this through. They knew what chaos was going to be created around this. They knew what the impact was going to be in many different ways. And they continue to stir the pot in other ways. And we just we're either blind or numb to it and don't think. I'm not trying to make trouble, but I think we need to run away from it.
I think you have to investigate it, because there's no doubt that China does not want to see Trump reelected again. And so they're sowing chaos. They're sowing as much trouble as they can right before an election, because they would rather see Joe Biden in office. Mm. And it's just, I don't know.
How do you come to that conclusion?
Because Joe Biden's been on China payroll for 20 years.
Explain to people we were talking about that earlier this week. Can you give a little bit? We only have a minute or so here. Can you give a little more insight into?
You're like, can you tell us everything about that in 30 seconds?
Yeah,
go.
Right.
Before Joe Biden was not one of these guys who've been enriched. He was not someone who was rich going into the Senate. He obviously made money like everybody else did as a representative, as a senator in the country. But when Obama put him in charge of China, he made 4 very lucrative deals for not only his son, which we've heard about, Hunter, but we haven't heard so much about the other 2 deals that he made for himself and his family. If you look at his value and how much it went up during the Obama presidency, it's not by mistake that China would probably want to see.
I mean, you can see that. But look at Mitch McConnell.
Like what were the deals?
Deals
and
specifically
what was
with the Chinese government, not even with Chinese corporations.
Doing
that
what?
Were made,
what was he supposed to be doing?
He was given money to sit on boards. That's what Hunter was.
Boards
doing.
Of Chinese was, companies?
Yes, and he was given money. The Chinese government were giving him kickbacks. That's what the deals were coming from. And so you can track the money. I can send you guys, it's in a book written by Peter Schweitzer, where the deals are actually outlined in full detail as to what he earned, how he earned it, when it came to be, and how it was done. And most of that business, I think almost all of it, was done as he was traveling doing business for the American government on Air Force 2. And so if you're concerned about China, and if you are concerned about who is going to be tougher on them, look, Trump is not perfect. I'll be the first one to tell you, but he is the only one who's actually been talking about holding
on that
accountable.
Level, on that, I might agree with you. Yeah, I think I might agree with you on that. I think it's necessary. There are so many other considerations, but when it comes to China, I think there is. I think Joe's got his foot in some tepid water. I don't know what Harris is all about. I don't even know where Pence stands on it, but I know that Trump, in terms of, let's say, agricultural interests when it came to the Chinese, and the trade stuff has been tougher. I also think he's made some stupid statements like my friend Li, the president of China, you know, stuff like that. He's not saying that anymore, but he has said it, and that's distracted people. And corruption at this level with the Chinese government is just so, it's inculcated into our lives, into our beings, it seems. It's just, you know, look around you. What's in your home that's not made in China? What's in your life that doesn't have some influence from China? And that's happened, by the way, all in the last 25, 30 years. It wasn't a part of my life where there was the Japanese influence in terms of trade and goods. And
when I was a kid, everything
sort of thing.
Was made in Taiwan.
Yeah,
that was the
yeah.
thing that you'd see, the sticker you would see.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you don't think the long arm of the Chinese Communist Party is reaching here any more than the Russians are with Russian television, Russian radio, Chinese buying radio stations, come on, wake up, everybody. 21 after the hour here on the DJV program. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, there's your wake up.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
I can't hit that note, Victor.
On a blanket with my baby. Thanks for not trying.
Where I'll be.
Okay, time for the throwback exercise with Victoria, the throw-out exercise. Throwback Thursday time, where we bring you the top five songs from this particular week in a given year. We go back to 1964 right now, summertime 64, and number five was from Benny King. I think he was still with the Drifters at the time. Under the Boardwalk. I was going to sing a little bit more of it, but as usual, Victoria has no respect or regard for my singing. As a matter of fact, she just said something that I found completely insulting.
Oh,
I can't find
Wayne.
The key. Wait a minute. What was
I said
that?
You couldn't find a key if you were a seaplane in Florida.
Yeah, that offensive.
Oh, it's very so offensive.
I'm offended. All right, so number five from the Drifters, Under the Boardwalk. Let's move on to number four from this week. Dusty Springfield, one of her big hits, first big hit for her, as a matter of fact. Wishing and hoping. I'm behind by a phrase there. I love the background singers from all these songs. All you've got to do is hold them and kiss them and love them. Yeah, I remember the lyrics. That's some oldie, oldie, goody goldies, my Rusty Rack and Wrinkle Records. Number four. That's Dusty. Number three belongs to El Supremos, not the Supreme Court. Diana Ross, Mary. Why did I just forget Mary's last name? What's Mary's last name? Yes, thank you. Good for you.
I didn't really know. I was guessing.
Yeah, no, it's Mary Wilson. Right. Okay, Where Did Our Love Go? I think it's the second or third big tune for the Supremes as they charged into having, 10 or 12, 14 songs that went to number one. Where Did Our Love Go? Crank this up, Phil, will you? All Your Promises.
All the love I ever know.
All right. Another song about unrequited love. Nasty as it can get. Why are so many songs? Why are songs so much about love and loving somebody? Why is that?
What else are you going to write about? Going to the store?
Yeah, right.
You've got to be a pretty good creative writer to make that interesting.
Baby, baby, I need some hamburger. Maybe not. All right, number two this week. Everybody. Somebody. Dean Martin. Real name. I used to call him Dino Martini, but that's because he was drinking. I forget what his real name is. But this song made it. As to some about this song. Everybody loves somebody. It's number two this week, by the way, in 1964.
Everybody finds somebody somewhere
sometime. Yeah. Do you like this, Victoria, or not? Not me singing it, but Dean.
No, this song.
No, yeah. Really?
The way that you crap all over the other music stories? Yeah, this is terrible.
Wait a minute. I want to know what Fancy Nancy thinks about this. That's the question.
This is kind of dreary for her. She likes upbeat, poppy stuff.
I do, too.
I don't think she likes this.
Violins and stuff. There's nothing wrong with this song. All right, but then we get to the song that lasted a couple of weeks at number one. Yet another big hit. Million seller for the Beatles. Hard Day's Night. This was the era that was best for me, anyway, from the Beatles catalog. Number one this week in 1964. Laptops. All right. You see them parading around in Liverpool, singing this stuff, right?
Oh, we just watched somewhere. That documentary that Ron Howard did, you know, on the touring years of the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
It's
great.
On, I want to say, Hulu. I highly recommend it. It's really great.
Great stuff. All right, there they are. Top five songs this week in 1964, along with our commentary and my singing here exclusively. You won't hear this anywhere else. It's the DJV Show, 28 after the hour.
Hi, I'm Dr. Garth Graham, Chief Community Health Officer for CVS Health. COVID-19 has deeply devastated our lives in countless ways. Many individuals, especially those in minority communities, are delaying or canceling important doctor's appointments and healthcare visits. We cannot let screening, treatment, and care for other debilitating and life-threatening conditions be another casualty in this fight. We must take care of ourselves now more than ever. That's why CVS Health is promoting Time for Care. This call to action encourages individuals to prioritize in-person primary care needs while taking the proper safety precautions as they continue on their path to better health. COVID-19 has struck an especially painful blow for Black and Hispanic communities who are already facing higher rates of chronic conditions. At CVS Health, we are actively working to address these racial and ethnic disparities in both treatment and care. Our team continues to increase COVID-19 testing access by collaborating with organizations serving minority populations. To stay informed, go to #TimeForCare or visit aetna.com/TimeForCare.
Hunt Military Communities HMC, the largest U.S. military housing owner, has announced that they have generated over 116,000 megawatt hours of solar energy in support of the sustainability goals of the U.S. military. Hunt believes that by working hand in hand with their residents, they can help the environment by being more conscious of energy use. These military families are key to reducing the environmental footprint. Julie Strickland is a vice president at Hunt Military Communities.
At Hunt Military Communities, we're incredibly proud of our sustainability achievements. The families living in our communities are instrumental to our success. We've had many families actively partner with us to reduce energy consumption, and subsequently, we've been able to reduce our environmental footprint. Any dollars saved through energy efficiency efforts directly contribute to community improvements and the enhancement of the overall resident experience. We're eager to build on our successes by further expanding our energy efficiency initiatives in the future.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says Democrats are simply not trying to hammer out a coronavirus relief package with Republicans and the White House. Mnuchin releasing a statement after speaking with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday. Pelosi also commented later in the day saying it's the White House that won't negotiate.
When commentators say to me, why can't you resolve your differences? Because we're miles apart.
Then Mnuchin said later that was not an accurate reflection of their conversation. California's Democratic Senator Kamala Harris says she is up for the task of running for VP. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden formally introducing his running mate at a joint appearance in Delaware yesterday. Senator Harris says November's presidential election is about choosing a better future for America. This is USA Radio News.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
President Trump says he's in discussions with college athletes and officials about the fall season and what's going to happen given the pandemic. The president telling reporters yesterday he spoke with several football players and numerous coaches, and most of them say they want to play football. And Trump followed up by saying, let them play, claiming the players say they feel safer walking around the field than not. The Big Ten and Pac-12 have already said they're going to postpone fall sports. The Big 12 is reportedly planning to go forward with its football season. Today is Black Women's Equal Pay Day. It's the day on average that black women need to work to make what their white male counterparts did in 2018. Studies show that black women are paid 62 cents for every dollar that a white male makes, a number that hasn't changed in a quarter century, according to the National Women's Law Center. And a Tennessee woman has a new driver's license now after she got one recently that showed just an empty chair where the picture should be. Jay Dodd renewed her license online, but when the card arrived, she noticed it had a picture of a chair and instead of her face, so she contacted the DMV, which said the mistake resulted from the wrong picture being saved to her profile, so they've sent her a new license. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Looking to get onto the road to wellness? Start your journey with the Good Day Health Podcast. Go to gooddayhealthshow.com and press play. Or you can find the Good Day Health Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcast.
Past the hour, it is the DJ V Show. I'm Victoria Keelan with some news about vaping. This goes to adults and teenagers alike. A new study shows that vaping is linked to a much higher risk of COVID-19 in teens and young adults. In fact, young people who vaped were 5 to 7 times more likely to be diagnosed with COVID-19. As we know, the virus is a respiratory virus, and so young vapers are more vulnerable because of the damage that they're already doing with these popular e-cigarettes. And one of the researchers said, the senior author of the study said, when I first started seeing the stories come out that adolescents and young adults were suddenly being diagnosed with COVID-19 and actually getting sick from it, that's the other thing, not asymptomatic. These are kids who are actually getting sick. She said, I thought, one of the thoughts I had was, wow, could this study partly explain it? And as we know, the rates of vaping amongst teens has tripled from 4.5% to 15% was the national average. So vapers who are adults, this is also affecting your lungs and your immune system. That's the other thing.
When you were a kid, Victoria, when you were a kid, harken back with us to those thrilling days of yesteryear when you were experimenting. I was trying to think as you were explaining this, what sort of fads there were that people would follow and why they followed them. What the influences were of parents versus your peers in doing things like this. You weren't perfect. I wasn't perfect.
No, I smoked cigarettes behind the building and like everybody in high school, you know? I mean, not a lot, but, and it certainly didn't stick. It was not something that I, you know, that I kept up, thankfully. But, you know, I know too much about vaping and how dangerous all those chemicals are. Yeah. It just, we're going to see, you know, there was a doctor on, I think it was last year, and long before the pandemic was an issue, and the doctor said that with the rate of vaping that's happening with teenagers right now, it's so bad that we're going to see kids who are in high school now, by the time they're in college or on their way out of college, some of these kids are going to need lung transplants. That's how bad the vaping situation is.
So how do we curtail it? How do you stop it?
You know,
how do you, education, here we talk about nobody's being educated. If you were in school and things were normal, are the biology teachers, the chemistry teachers, or the science teachers teaching youngsters the practical side of what happens to your body if you're using this stuff?
Yeah, but think about it this way. When you were a kid and they showed, and that you were in biology class and they showed what lungs, you know, look like after you smoke cigarettes, or if you're a guy in high school or you play football or baseball especially, they're always spitting and chewing tobacco, and they show the pictures of guys who have like their half their tongue removed because of oral cancer. That doesn't stop people. When has that ever worked? You have to take these things off the market and make them impossible to get. That's the only way around it. Because
and
kids
then,
are doing it because you don't smell anything.
Okay, so then I go back to when I was young and watching my mother kill herself, dying at the age of 50, being so addicted to Kent cigarettes because of the nicotine, quote, that was in it. She smoked until the last day of her life. Because of these goddamn things. And under the circumstances, when you get into the government subsidizing the growing of tobacco and helping these companies make billions and billions of dollars, you got to think there's something really wrong with a system or with people who don't value the growing of good, healthy food, who don't encourage or enhance. The last people in line to get help during this COVID thing were people involved in agriculture. The last people. They are trying to grow the independent, small family farmers that are trying to grow good food, and the people are reacting to. People are wanting it. People are saying, give me more. And yet the government has, I mean, the perfect example of that is how they've been asked by the various farm organizations, the National Farmers Union and the American Farm Bureau Federation, to extend the deadline for application to get aid, some sort of PPP or any kind of coronavirus aid, the Food Assistance Program, the CAP. That's something that farmers have been told, okay, you got till the 14th of August. Well, 14th of August is tomorrow. And how many have applied? Maybe 14%, 15%, 16%, because they either, this is growing season, duh, farmers are working from morning till night, their wives are working with them, their children are working with them, and they don't have the money to hire somebody to fill out these forms. So as a result, they've fallen by the wayside. So finally, with pressure from the farm groups, they've given more, but what's the reason for the deadline? Why try to squeeze people into a particular category? If this thing goes on, people should be able to apply no matter where they are, but certainly farmers need to have the most time, because they're in most need, frankly, of any group, singular group. You can argue it was the restaurant business, but it's all tied to food. So the government now is going to, they have agreed to buy a lot of dairy products and some meat and that sort of thing It should be, that should have been, excuse me, in my mind anyway, the first thing on everybody's mind should have been buy this stuff. I mean, all you had to do, you have to be a genius to go into Sonny Perdue ought to get his fat ass into a grocery store to see what actually is going on in there.
He is so out of touch.
Awful. Terrible. Oh what an gosh. Awful pick. Farmers know that.
Yeah, and I read all the farm news now. That's become part of my, you know, daily thing. I'm always on various farming sites.
Yes.
And it's very frustrating reading it, even being a farmer, and just seeing how our farmers are being treated by that.
Yeah.
You know, encouraged to spend money they don't have on buying more equipment and going bigger,
yeah.
being bullied into that. Yeah. It's just,
But back to the vaping and what it's all about, health and well-being and the focus that we don't have in our country because the big advertisers, the big money people, the folks that make a lot of money with prepared foods, foods that have all kinds of things in them that aren't good for you. And that's the sadness of living in a free society is having that and not necessarily having the education in the school system to teach you how to think around that. You know, people would say, well, Doug, you're always talking about ice cream, ha, ha, ha. And, I do.
Yeah, but you don't eat it every single day and you're not.
Well, I might.
Oh, boy. Never mind. I tried to defend you. Never mind.
I don't need defense. I love ice cream, and I will love it forever. No matter what the weather, I have lots of ice cream in my freezer. I have it in the ice cream buses, even though I've curtailed their operation for this year. They're down at the farm. I actually look at recipes. Believe it or not, I know you'll find this very funny. I look at recipes for various types of ice cream. Miles, my grandson, has taken a page from Gramps' playbook. He and his mother now, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, are making ice cream. And he'll call me up on Facebook.
Do they have an ice cream maker, or are they
yes.
doing it like the old-fashioned way?
No, they have an ice cream maker.
Do you have an ice cream maker?
I don't.
I feel like you're the target audience for that.
I am, but I don't need one because I get plenty of it on my own. For the ice cream, I'm a connoisseur of it, and when Miles comes to me, hey Gramps, chocolate flake raspberry ice cream. I don't even know he knew what. I mean, he likes chocolate. I didn't know that he knew what raspberries were, but his mother's teaching him about. That's part of this is part of education as well, teaching your children how to eat well, or in this case, have some fun, make some ice cream. It's good. You need to have. You need to have things around that are fun. You can't always eat just the basics. But she's very responsible as to how, he eats and what he eats.
It's all about balance.
Yep, it sure is. But he's learning about food in a basic sense, making it, not buying it all prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
well, doesn't
thing.
He? Aren't they? Well, I don't know if it happens now during the pandemic, but I used to see pictures of him at the farmers markets a lot.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
With his parents or his uncle. So he seems
Megan,
to have a good grasp on that.
Megan, because she went to school in England for 7.5 years, developed that English strategy. If you go to a store and buy what you need tonight. And that's all you buy. That's all you have. That's why the refrigerator.
Yeah, my mom never lives
in
England, and she does that too. And we constantly make fun of her. We're like, Mom, you can't go to the store every day. You're gonna have to order for a week in advance. And God forbid she gets through 2 days of ordering. It's like the worst. But I know, when I lived in London, that was the same thing. You just go to the store every day and you buy whatever you're gonna eat.
I'll tell you something. My favorite flavor at the moment is cherry vanilla. The cherries this year are fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Put cherries on vanilla ice cream. Or buy cherry vanilla ice, but it's better to get the fresh cherries and cut them up and put them on.
So you must like cherries, Cherry Garcia, right? From
I do.
Ben & Jerry? That's
yep,
a good
I
one.
Do.
Yeah, that has the chunks of chocolate in it, too.
My favorite of the Ben & Jerry's ice cream flavors. And actually, for a commercial brand, Ben & Jerry's is not bad.
Yeah, it's very good.
You,
I love it.
You find some of the other things around that are commercial brands that are just crap. But Ben & Jerry's.
I think it's because Ben & Jerry actually stayed involved in the company after they sold
it. Yeah.
I think that's a big part of
it. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go to the dentist next week in Los Angeles when I'm there for a couple of days because I have a couple of teeth that were extracted and they needed to be replaced. And there's this big hole in my mouth and it's having consequences on me. So I'm talking to the dentist who's a wonderful lady. Her name is Ming Oh, O-H, like Sandra Oh, same thing.
Yep.
And so She's taken a very strong position on how to handle her patients, and she sent me a lot of information. There are no routine visits anymore to her office, at least not now. She is doing the special stuff like what I need to have done. And she says, well, you have to tell me about what you're doing to keep your mouth clean. What do you do? I think I've said this on the air. I gargle every day with hydrogen peroxide, and I think it serves a couple of different purposes. But if there's any germs in my mouth related to COVID, they're going to go south with the hydrogen peroxide. You don't swallow it. You don't want to swallow it, but you do want to keep your mouth clean. Anyway, so I was telling her that and other things that I'm doing to keep my mouth and my gums and everything functioning well. But it's really interesting how she was she quizzed me thoroughly on what I've been doing, and then she explained this is what's going on in the office right now. I'm doing a lot I'm trying to prevent any airborne transmission of anything in my office. She's going to require full facial, not just a mask, but
the shield.
And I bought one of those to wear on the plane anyway.
That's good. I have a friend who just flew from Cincinnati out to L.A. and she said she did not feel safe. She said, you know, the news media is showing empty airports, and she said that was so not the case. Everyone was packed in like sardines. Everyone has to wear a mask, but she said that very few people were wearing shields. She was wearing shields, she and her husband, but she just said that, you know, it's such a nerve-wracking experience, like flying. Yeah. Maybe because you're in first class, maybe it'll feel a little bit better, but she was in coach, and she said it was not a great experience, but she had to go for work, so.
You know, one of the things that I'll leave you on this one in terms of how we're talking about this sort of thing, looking around, we've talked a lot about Sweden and what they've done or haven't done there and how it has worked. And in New Zealand, I would say that's the best. Those are the two places I would recommend people look if you're just interested to see how things have been done and why they're better off. There hasn't been a case recorded in New Zealand for 100 days. Not one case.
Well, they haven't let anyone in, right?
No, they shut the island down.
Right.
And how you do that in America, I don't know.
Yeah.
You look for places where they're winning, as Charlie Sheen said, winning. Those are two places where they are. Here, speak about our teeth and winning. You want that bright white smile? You've had enough coffee, tea, red wine, blueberries to last a lifetime? No, I'll never stop eating blueberries. I don't drink coffee. Little tea here and there. Red wine, nope. But Jennifer and Victoria like to slosh it down every night.
Yes, we do. After a long show with you,
it's all
each
my
other
fault.
And we slosh it down.
Slosh it down. All right. So now, in order to get rid of those blueberry stains or coffee stains or whatever you got on your teeth, how about you go to powerswabs.com and get this patented all-natural tooth detergent from Power Swabs, whitening and brightening your teeth in 5 minutes. You'll get a couple of notches up. Snap, swab, smile. The stains start to disappear. Couple of there's different ways of measuring how this looks, but you can tell by looking at your teeth. Yeah, I don't have to. You'll see the stains begin to disappear. 30 days, your teeth look a lot different, or you get your money back. Either or. Powerswabs.com. Use the discount code DJV for this all natural product. DJV10. You get 40% off in normal terms using the DJV code, but with the extra 10, you get $10 more off. So buy it now, use it, and enjoy how you look after you've spent a month on Power Swabs. PowerSwabs.com, code DJV10.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Ooh, everything's all right. I tell you, this is, where did this song come from? It's not new.
Almonds.
This is a movie. What is this?
The Allman Brothers.
Yeah, I know that, but is it in a movie? That was what I know is the
Allman
Brothers.
No, I think this is just what Phil
Jesus
wants to play.
Jesus is Just All Right is the name of the tune. And so, yeah, I like it. It's a great riff. We should use that. You know what, Phil? We need to update the music and stuff. The stuff that we use is old crap.
You got
most of it. So can we just, like, blow up all that stuff and bring in some of the Doobies and the Allman Brothers.
Oh, yeah, the new stuff, the Phil. Yeah, the stuff that the kids love.
It's going to be Post Malone all the time.
Yeah. Hey, I like Post Malone.
There we go. All right. Music time. Good, Doug. It's Movie Moments. Chucker is out today. However, we do have some things, as they say on television, those phony baloney anchors, breaking news. Sarah Paulson is going to be in a horror movie. I should have saved this for Chucker because he loves this crap. The movie's called Run, and it's going to debut apparently on Hulu. This is a new director. I don't understand the. I never have understood the appeal to horror movies. Have you? Can you go and watch a full length horror movie?
No,
Victoria.
No. It depends. It's a couple years ago, Lewis decided that I needed to have a triumphant moment over my fear of horror movies. So we called
my
terror
triumph. I love Lewis and you together, but if he likes
but
horror
no, he
movies,
doesn't. He doesn't like the. Notch. He doesn't like slasher movies. He likes the classic thrillers, like we watched Hitchcock's Psycho. We watched the original Halloween movie, like that kind of stuff, like The Exorcist. I don't like any of the new gory stuff where people just get killed for the sake of getting killed. I don't like any of that. And God forbid any animal is harmed. I mean, that's...
Right. Yeah.
I don't care if a town of 5,000 gets blown up. If one dog suffers, then I'm out.
Done.
But, yeah, I can't do that. But I do like a psychological thriller. Not violence, but I like suspense.
There was
like
a movie out last year, and I can't remember the actress's name. She and her family were attacked by a bunch of guys. Her husband had died. She had a bunch of money in the house, and they knew about it, and they came, and they were going to kill her, and she managed to wipe them all out. I forget. She's a well-known actress, but I can't remember her name. But that was, you know, that was a thrill. At every moment, it was edited the right way so that you were wondering, okay, what's, sometimes stuff is edited so badly you can tell what's going to happen in the next frame or the next 10 minutes. You know, it's easy to predict that, but not necessarily with some of the good movies that are, and that, that brings around a focus on how important editors are to a movie's success. If you don't have, they leave the wrong stuff on the cutting room floor, so to speak. It's all digital now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Then it can mess up what otherwise could be a massive success. So you got to have a lot of trust in what the editors do.
Yeah.
All right, so you got some other things that are new on the market, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. Netflix is producing an adaptation of the famous novel Rebecca, and it's going to star your boy Armie Hammer and Lily James. Lily James rose to fame in Downton Abbey. She played the young cousin Rose who was dating the black jazz singer, and it caused a big controversy in the family.
Oh, yeah.
She then went on, and she plays the sort of love interest and best friend in the movie Yesterday, when the only songs, that's the movie about the Beatles songs being, you know, only one guy.
I just saw that, by the way, last week.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
It's on TV, yeah. Right.
So she and Armie Hammer are going to star in Rebecca. Now, if you're not familiar with the novel, this was written by Daphne du Maurier in 1938. It's a literary classic, and it's a psychological thriller, so I think that's probably why I'm also excited. The story will be of Lily James and Armie Hammer's character. They get married, but see, this guy is basically, his first wife is named Rebecca. She dies at a young age. He then very quickly remarries, and the story is Rebecca, the first wife, haunts the second wife. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how they do this.
And
so
he loves to do stuff like that. Armie Hammer.
I bet it's a great character piece for him.
Well, that's the thing. He was RBG's husband. Remember that in that movie from last year, the year before?
He's a very good actor. I really like him.
He is a very good. And he's a good guy.
The other part that's cool in this, too, is Mrs. Danvers, who is the woman who runs the house.
Yeah.
She's going to be played by Kristen Scott Thomas. We haven't seen her in ages.
No.
She's a great actress, so I think it's going to be really good.
She needs a hamburger.
She is a little thin, yes.
She's skinny. Oof. All right, so that's...
Oh, and so here, one last bit. It drops on Netflix October 21st, so we have something to look forward to for Halloween.
Netflix. But it's not on the big screen. Come on. That's got to be on the big screen. Big, big screen. Army's involved in the other Agatha Christie movie that's a follow-up to Orient Express. What's the next one after that that they're coming out with next year?
I don't know.
It's finished filming just before the pandemic. All right, there's some movie news for you, boys and girls.
Attention radio listeners. Have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.